All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let us begin. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors. First of all, Altama Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei, Steve and Terry Zinn, for dedicating all the Shir Midrashos this month in memory of their parents, Tzvi Hirsch, Ben Yosef HaKoin, Yentl Mindel, Bas David HaLevi, Bunim Tzvi Ben Chaim, and Devora Bas Yisrael Yoel. We also thank our Daf Yomi sponsor today. Sorry, a little bit back and forth. I'm sorry. Samuel Slamowitz, in celebration of his birthday. Beautiful. We wish Samuel an incredible birthday. Neve Esim Shanim Tovos. We thank all of our sponsors for their generosity and dedication. And Bozi, with that, let us begin. So we have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Mem Tes 49. And we are picking up Emir Tzashem on Mem Tes on the base. Let's pick up four lines up from the bottom of the page. 48b, four lines up from the bottom of the page. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. So we say the name of Rav. Zu Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. These are the words of Rabbi Yishmael. So both remember again, we're hyper-focused now on the last case of the Mishnah, which is where you had a situation of three chatzeros, right? Three chatzeros. So you know, if you can imagine in a line, and each of the chatzeros opened into each other and also opened into the Rishus HaRabim. So again, Rabbi Shimon said that halacha l'maisa, as long as if the two outer chatzeros made an eruv with the middle chatzer, so the middle chatzer could carry into the two outer ones, the two outer ones could carry into the middle, but the two outer ones may not carry into each other. Right? So again, if you can imagine, if it's A, B, and C, so A and C could both carry into B, B could carry both into A and C, but A and C may not carry into each other. Those are the halacha. So it says, Rabbi, the name of Rav. These are the words of Rabbi Shimon. These are the words of Rabbi Shimon. Ava chachom, the chachamim say, Rishus achos mishameshes l'shtei rishuyos, ava lo shtei rishuyos mishameshes l'rishus achos. Well, this is very interesting. Rabbi Shimon, according to this version, we're going to see machlokes in versions about this, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, so the Chachamim's position is as follows. The Chachamim's position is that halacha lamaisa, listen to these words, rishus achos mishameshes l'shtei rishuyos. One rishus could serve two other rishuyos, but one rishus, however, avalo shtei rishuyos mishameshes l'rishus achos. But one rishus cannot access two rishuyos. In other words, they both say, but according to the Chacham in this version, what the Gemara is saying is as follows. So halacha lemaisa, you can have a situation of two rishuyos, which each access the same rishus. So for example, in this scenario, there's no problem with A and C both utilizing B, the middle rishus. What you can't have is a B which has access to both A and C. That doesn't work. So two rishuyos could use the same middle rishus. But you cannot have one rishus that has access to both two other rishuyos. So the Gemara says as follows: Ki amri sekam ed Shmuel. So listen to this. He said, when I said this over in front of Shmuel, Amar li Shmuel said, no, your version is wrong. Af zu divrei Rabbi Shimon. In fact, the position you attributed to the Rabbanon is in fact the position of Rabbi Shimon. So now I just want to point out, there's a machlokes here between Rav and Shmuel about what exactly the position of Rabbi Shimon is. In Rabbi Huda's version, or in Rav's version of Rabbi Huda, so Rabbi Shimon's version is as stated in the Mishnah. So remember again, you have A, B, and C. So again, it's assuming that A and C both make an Erev with B. So B can carry to A and C. A and C can carry both into B. The Chachamim in that version say, no, you can't do that. A and C can both carry into B, but B can't carry into both A and C, because you could have two rishuyos that use one central rishus, but you cannot have one rishus that has access to two other rishuyos. Now in this alternate version over here, comes along Shmuel and he says, no, that's the view of Rabbi Shimon. In fact, Rabbi Shimon's view is just like that, namely, that halacha lamaisa, two rishuyos could share access into the same middle rishus, but the middle rishus cannot have access into the two other rishuyos. Avacham, the Chachamim say, shloshtan asuros. The Chachamim say that in fact, again, all three rishuyos are Usser. So we'll say this is in Shmuel's version. Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yehuda Libe de Shmuel. So we'll say, so I just want to point out, in fact, what they're really arguing on over here is different versions in Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So again, Rav has his version, Shmuel has his version. Fundamental difference, obviously. Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yehuda, we have a Braisa that supports Rabbi Yehuda Libe de Shmuel. So we'll say there's a Braisa that supports Rabbi Yehuda in accordance with Shmuel's interpretation. So we'll say, so remember again, Shmuel's interpretation is that according to Rabbi Shimon, the most that could happen is two rishuyos could both have access to the same middle rishus. But the middle rishus cannot simultaneously have access to both A and C. So no problem with A and C having access to B, but B cannot have access both to A and C. Whereas the Chachamim hold, everything is going to be usher. So a Raisa that supports Shmuel's understanding. I'm Rabbi Shimon, Lamad Davar Domeh. To what can this case be compared? L'shalosh chatzeros ha-psuchos zu-la-zu, u-psuchos l'rishus ha-rabin. So we'll say this could be compared ultimately again to three chatzeros that are open to one another and are also open to rishus ha-rabin. Ervu shtayim ha-emtsayos, if the two outer ones, A and C, made an eruv with B, zu mevia misoch beisa va-ochalas, so this one, in other words, A and C can both bring from their home into B. So it's about food. They can bring food from their homes, from A and C into B, and eat it in B. Furthermore, and I will say again, if they have any leftovers, so again, I will say, let's say the guy from A brought his food into B, and he ate it there. He had leftovers. He could bring his leftovers back into A. Similarly, again, the guy from C brought his food into B. He ate there. He had his leftovers. He could bring it back into C as well. Ava chachamim omrim shloshtan asuros. The Chacham say, no, all three are asa. So we'll say this seems to support the version the version of Shmuel. Va'az de Shmuel atameh. And I will say Shmuel goes according to his reasoning, because what does Shmuel hold? So the Amr Shmuel is an interesting case. Chatzer shebein shnei mevuos. So we'll say, if you can imagine the situation over here, you have a chatzer in between two mavois. So we'll say, so remember again, remember from our Shabbos days, and also from Erevin, of course, which is that, remember, you have homes that have a shared courtyard. That's the chatzer. That's the typical chatzer situation, right? Chatzeros would often open up into a shared alleyway. That's a mavoi, right? And I will say, and then a mavoi will lead into Rosh Hashanah. So in this case over here, you have the following scenario. You have a chatzer that is in between two mavuos. So I will call it mavoi A, mavoi B, and then there's a chatzer in the middle. All right. So now what's the halacha? Ervuim shnehem asura. We'll say, if the chatzer in the middle makes an eruv with both of the mavuis, then what? Then ultimately, again, it's aser, doesn't work. We'll say this, remember, this just to be clear, this braisa is going to, according to the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel is of the opinion that when you have an area sandwiched in between two other areas, you have to choose a side. You have to choose which rishus you want to access. You cannot go ahead and make an eruv with two other rishuyos. So therefore, again, in this chatzer, when I have the chatzer sandwiched in between two mavuos, so ervu im shneihem, if you made an eruv with both of them, asura im shneihem, lo ervu im shneihem, but if you did not make an eruv with both of them, oseres al shneihem. So we'll say, interestingly enough, this seems to be a little bit of a catch-22. If the middle chatzer makes an eruv with both mavuos, it doesn't work. But yet, if this chatzer does not make an eruv with either of the mavuos, then what? Lo eruvim shneihem, lo eruvim shneihem, oseres al shneihem. Then I will say, what's the problem? The problem is, if the chatzer in the middle doesn't make an eruv with the two mavuos, then the presence of the chatzer ultimately prohibits any carrying in the mavui, which makes sense. Why I will say, because again, remember, in order to carry in an area, so any other areas which ultimately have access to that area must also be included in an Eruv. So we'll see here this case. So again, I have an Eruv, I have a Chatzar sandwiched in between two Mavuis. So according to this approach, that Chatzar can't make an Eruv with both Mavuis, but yet failure for the Chatzar to enter into an Eruv with both of the Mavuis does what? Prohibits carrying in either of the other Mavuis. So listen to this. Haisa ba'achad regila u ba'achad ein regila. We'll say if the chatzer normally used one of the mavuis and did not use the other, u ba'achad ein regila, ze sherigila bo aser. So therefore we'll say in that case, even though the chatzer is geographically in between two mavuis, But since it normally uses one and doesn't use the other, so we go ahead and we really attach the chatzar to the mavui that it normally uses, and we disassociate the chatzar from the mavui that it doesn't normally use. Therefore, again, zesher regila ba'aser. Therefore, the mavui that it normally uses ultimately again will be aser. V'zesheinu regila ba'mutar. But the mavui that the chatzar does not normally access will not be negatively impacted by the fact that it doesn't have an Eruv with the Chatzar. Amra Barafuna. So we'll say, so again, that supports Shmuel's understanding of this discussion. Namely, a central area cannot go ahead and form an Eruv with both of its, we'll call it juxtaposed Rishuyos. Juxtaposed is the wrong word. Meaning a middle area cannot go ahead and form two Eruvim with ultimately and both Rishuyos and the other side. You have to choose a side. You have to choose a side. That goes back to the case in the Mishnah. So the case is not finished. Let's listen to this case. Let's say, however, the Chatzar decided to make an Eruv with the Mavui that it doesn't normally access. So remember, again, I will say, just for illustration purposes, so remember, I have Mavui A, Mavui B, and now the Chatzar in the middle. So what did we say? So again, remember, so if the Mavui makes an Eruv with both Mavui, excuse me, if the Chatzar makes an Eruv with both Mavuos, doesn't work. If the Chatzar doesn't make an Erev with either of the Mavuos, doesn't work. Okay, so now what happens if one of the Mavuos was the Mavui that the Chatzar normally accesses and the other one it doesn't normally use? So really the failure to make an Erev really only impacts the Chatzar that is normally used by, I'm sorry, the Mavui that is normally used by the Chatzar. But it will not impact the Mavui that is not used by the Chatzar. Now watch this. The case goes on. Irva im she'ina regilabo. Let's say the Chatzar enters into an Eruv with the Mavui that it doesn't normally use. Let's say for our illustration purposes over here, let's say the Chatzar normally uses Mavui A, doesn't use Mavui B. Yet, it enters into an Eruv with Mavui B, Ervam She'ina Regilabo, Hutter Regila Liatzmo. Ultimately, again, the Mavui that is Ragil is permitted for use. Va'ara Barafun Amar Shmuel, Im Erva Regila Liatzmo, if ultimately, again, the Mavui, we'll call it Mavui A, which was the Mavui normally used by the Chatzar, went ahead and created its own Eruv, V'zeh She'ina Regilabo, Lo Irev, and Mavui B, which the Chatzar does not normally use, was not included in Eruv, right? Did not make its own Eruv. V'hi atzma lo erva, and the Chatzar itself did not make an Eruv. So we'll say, so again, this case is a little bit different. So remember, in this case over here, every one of these areas, Mavoi A, Mavoi B, and Chatzar are kind of all doing their own thing. But look what happens over here. This is really fascinating. So one more time. So im erva regila liatzmo, so we'll say, ultimately, again, if the Mavui that the Chatzar normally uses, we'll call this again Mavui A. So if Mavui A made its own Eruv, v'zeh she'ina regila bo lo Eruv, and let's say Mavui B, which is the Mavui that the Chatzar does not normally use, did not make its own Eruv, v'hi atzmo lo erva, and the Chatzar itself did not engage in any type of Erev making. So what do I do over here? Dochin osa etza she'in or ilago. So we'll say in this case, interesting halachically, I associate the Chatzar with the Mavui that it doesn't normally use. Why? We'll say, why not? Well, or why do this? Because we see like this. The Chatzar didn't make an Erev, which seems to indicate that the residents of the Chatzar don't really need to carry inside of the Chatzar. Mavui B, which is the Mavui that the Chatzar doesn't normally use, also didn't make an Eruv, which sounds like they also don't have a need to carry. The only Rishus in this scenario here that made an Eruv was Mavui A, which clearly means that Mavui A wants to carry. So what do we do in this case, Rabbi Hussein? Even though normally the Chatzar uses Mavui A and doesn't use Mavui B, in this scenario, we associate the Chatzar with Mavui B. Because by doing that, Rabbi Hussein, what do? We go ahead and we allow Mavui A to utilize its Eruv. So in this case, halachically, we associate the Chatzar with Mavui B, thereby allowing the Eruv in Mavui A to work. The Gemara says, "Ukigon zeh kofen al midas stone." And like this, ultimately, this is an example of Bosei, where what? Where we go ahead and literally, kofin literally means we force regarding midas tom. We'll say, now what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, in this, towards the end of the second wide line, midas tom, tafilu midi de lo chaser be lo mahani lechavrei, v'achal karchi dachinu agibes. Listen to this. Midas tom, we'll say, means like this. You know, if I want to go ahead and prevent you from having something because it puts me at a disadvantage, that's human nature. That's human nature. But if I'm going to prevent you from having something, even though, again, I don't lose at all by you having it, that's called midas dom. Right? That's called midas dom. So we'll say, and in fact, Rashi says over here, midas dom is shali shali. Right? Ultimately, what's mine is mine, and I want to keep it for myself. And even though, again, you having it has no negative impact on me, I just don't want you to have something. So we'll say, see here what's happening over here? Just follow this case. It sounds complicated, but it's actually not complicated. So remember again, just in your mind's eye, we've got Mavoi A, Chatzar in the middle, Mavoi B. Okay? In this particular scenario that we're describing over here, Bosei says as follows. Now, normally, the Chatzar in question most normally utilizes Chatzar A. Sorry, Mavoi A. Right? Chatzar most when it uses Mavoi A. In this case over here, what's occurred over here is as follows. So Bosei, so Chatzar chose not to make an Eruv. Mavui B chose not to make an Eruv. Only Mavui A made an Eruv. So I will say, based on what we said before, so really it should prevent, this whole thing should prevent Mavui A from carrying. Why? Because now Chatzar has access to Mavui A and Chatzar hasn't made an Eruv. In this case, the Gemara says what we do is we assign the Chatzar to Mavui B. Even though the Chatzar doesn't normally use Mavui B, but because Chatzar didn't make an Eruv, Mavui B didn't make an Eruv, we kind of group them together as one unit. Because we group them together as one unit, that essentially allows Mavui A's Eruv to work properly. And also we call that Midas Dom. In other words, that since Chatzar and Mavui B clearly did not indicate any need or any want to make an Eruv, we group them together as one unit, thereby allowing Mavui A to go ahead and carry on Shabbos. Good. So the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So we'll say, switch gears a little bit in Eruv for just a moment. Actually, really quite fascinating. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hamakpid al Eruvo, ein Eruvo Eruv. We'll say, this is incredible. What if, we'll say, now again, I want to point out, I'm leaving you hanging for just a moment on the machlokis, Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. So first of all, there's a machlokis exactly what there's a machlokis and what the machlokis is. Or there's a machlokis in Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The Gemara is going to take a break from that. We're actually going to come back to that mamish in the last line right before the Mishnah. So we haven't closed it out yet. So Rabbi say, watch this. So the Gemara says, Hamakpid al Eruva in Eruva Eruva. So we'll say, somebody's makpid on his Eruv, the Eruv doesn't work. Now, what does that mean, Hamakpid? If you look at Rashi, third white line in Rashi, towards the end of the third line, Hamakpid al Eruvo, im yochal echad mi b'nei chabura es hapas. Listen to this case. So let's say Reuven, Shimon, and Levi live in the same chatzar. Simple case. They all make an Eruv chatzeros. So what happens? They all contribute a little bit of bread. They put it in someone's home. But Reuven says with a stipulation, here's the deal, guys. I don't want anyone eating my bread. Right? So I'm contributing to the Eruv. I don't want anyone eating my bread. That's called Hamakpid al Eruvo. So Shmuel says, Ein Eruva Eruv. Such an Eruv doesn't work. Such an Eruv doesn't work. Why doesn't such an Eruv work? It makes sense. Why not? We'll say, Mashmo, Eruv Shmo. We'll say, what's the name of this thing? It's called an Eruv. Then we'll say, now what does Eruv mean? Look at Rashi. Eruv Shmo, Shukulon Me'uravin Umarutzin Bo, Shlo Yimcha Bo Bechavero, Elo Shutfus Nocha Va'areva. So this is actually quite beautiful. So Eruv means two things. Eruv means Me'uravin Ta'aroves, a mixture. A mixture. So we'll say, what it means over here is that when you contribute to an Eruv, everybody's interests are mixed together. By definition, what that means is there's an understanding. I'll eat from yours, you'll eat from mine. Rashi also puts in over here, this is supposed to be a shutfus, a partnership that is nocha va'areva. Va'areva. So we'll say, areva means what? Areva means pleasant. Pleasant. So we'll say, so first of all, it's an incredible yisod. Because we know this concept of arvus, right? Kol Yisrael arevim zeh bo zeh. So we'll say, so it's interesting. So normally, again, what's that? What's the din of arvus? Mutual responsibility. Taroves, mixture. We're all one taroves. We're all responsible for each other. But you see, even Rashi means something else. Kol Yisrael arevim zeh bo zeh also means every Jew has a responsibility to be pleasant to the other, has a responsibility to be pleasant to his fellow Jew. I will say it's not just enough not to wrong someone. You have to be pleasant. I'll just say something very quickly on this. Let's say it's an incredible vart for Yom Kippur. You know, the Mishnah says, I just forgot the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that one of the miracles that occurred in the Beis HaMikdash is that when Klal Yisrael went ahead and stood together in the Beis HaMikdash, Omdim Sefufim Mishtachavim Rivachim, that they stood, when they stood, they were packed in, but when they bent down, when they prostrated themselves, ultimately, again, there was room for everyone. There's room for everyone. So the Rabbeinu Yonah on that Mishnah says, when is that talking about? What is that referring to? So listen to this. Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's referring to Yom Kippur. When Jews would gather into the Azara, so they were packed in, even though there's no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, on Yom Kippur, Jews came to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur because they wanted to see the Kohen Gadol. So when they would stand in the Azara, they would be packed in. So there was a miracle, Mishtachavim. When they would prostrate themselves, ultimately, again, there'd be plenty of Seis Revachim. So we'll say, Rabbeinu Yonah says, why was that miracle necessary? Because when would you bow down? You would bow down during vidui, during confession. So we'll say, see, here's the issue, that I'm going to be very reticent to confess my sins if you could hear me. In fact, Rambam brings down a Hilchos Tshuva that one is not supposed to publicize their sins unless they're well known to everyone. Hey, so we'll say, see, the idea is the miracle was that Rabbeinu Yonah says that this way everybody could bow down, and you could bow down in privacy, I could bow down in privacy, you could do your vidui, I could do my vidui. So the Kotzker says something absolutely amazing. I've said this many times throughout the years. It's one of my favorite vartlach. The Kotzker says there's an incredible yesod in here. Omdin tzufufin. There are some people who always stand their ground. There are some people who are always right. They always have to be right. Even when they're wrong, they're right. And even when they know that they're wrong, incredible, they still find a way to demonstrate that they're right. People like that, Sefufim, there is no room for anyone else. No room for anyone else. It's stifling to live with someone, to coexist with someone, to work with someone who is always right. But Mishtachavim, if you learn the art of yielding, you learn how to yield, Revachim, suddenly again, there's room for everyone. Sometimes even when you're right, Rabbi Nachman has a little essay that's called Kedai Lihios Vatron. It's Kedai. It's a good idea to be Mavater. It's a good idea to yield. Because when you learn the art of yielding, then suddenly again, Revachim, there's space for everyone. So we'll say it's an incredible yisod that you see over here that the Lashon of Eruv is not just mixture, but included in mixture ultimately is what? Is Areva, is pleasant. Doesn't just mean a din and mutual responsibility. It's a din and mutual pleasantness. It's a deal. And being a pleasant person. Be a pleasant person. Have a mekabalus kaladam besever panim yafos. Because the both say they really go hand in hand. How is it that we could be together as a people? How could it be that ultimately there could be mutual responsibility? How could it be that we could live together, coexist together, thrive together? Only for pleasant. Only for pleasant one another. Have to be an Erev. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, Halach l'maisa, if somebody deposits their Erev, but their makbid, don't eat my bread. Don't touch my Erev. Erev doesn't work. Rabbi Hanina Omer, Eruva Erev, Ela Shnikra Man Shevardinos. What's interesting, Rabbi Hanina says, no, the Erev works. You know, make your Adin, it works. If everybody deposits bread in one place, even if one guy doesn't want anyone else to eat his bread, it works. But he's called somebody from Vardina. He's called one of the, oh, you must be from Vardina. What's the pshat with that? Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Anshe Vardina, Tzikonin Hayu. Tzikonin Hayu. They were very stringy and unfriendly people. So apparently it works, the Gemara says, but Lemaisa, he's called from Anshe Vardina. I both say, you should know, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it doesn't work. Like halacha l'maisa, if a person contributes to an eruv and he makes a condition that no one else could eat from my eruv, such an eruv does not work. What's another interesting case? What happens now? Literally, what this sounds like over here is, normally, how would you make an eruv? Everybody would contribute some bread. Or by the way, it doesn't have to be bread; it could be just food. Everybody contributes food, and they put all of the food in one basket, in one kli. The case over here is where they're splitting the eruv into two baskets or into two kelim. Hacholik es eruv eino eruv. So, I'll say, interestingly enough, if you go ahead and you split up your eruv, ultimately, again, the eruv is not good. Now, why is it? Look at Rashi. So, I'll say in the wide lines, it's about five lines. In hacholik bishnei kelim eino eruv mishum haytime agufei dimashmo eruv shmo. So, I'll say, interestingly enough, all of this is based on the name. What's the name? Eruv. What is eruv? What does eruv mean? Eruv means a mixture. In order for something to be a mixture, what has to happen? It all has to be in one utensil. So, if you go and you start dividing up your eruv, ultimately, again, that is not the proper eruv. Kiman ki beishamai. This reflects to you, beishamai. This sanyo. Chamisha shegavo es eruvan. Finasnu b'shnei kelim. If five people went ahead. The number five is not, it's just a group of people. So five people get together and they collected eruv food from everyone, v'nasno b'shnei kelim, and they put it in two utensils. So the Gemara says, Beishamai omrim ein ze eruv. Beishamai says it doesn't work. That's not a good eruv. Ubeisilo omrim harei ze eruv. Beisilo says it's a good eruv. So I'll say, so you see over here that the statement of Shmuel, that if a person goes out and splits up their Eruv food, that it is not a good Eruv, ultimately reflects the view of Beis Shammai. Gemara says, one second. Afilu Tema Beis Hillel. The truth is, this could even reflect the view of Beis Hillel. How so? Ad kamo karim Beis Hillel hasam ela demalyun lamana v'yaiser. I said, we'll say, when does Beis Hillel say that if you split up the Eruv into two utensils that the Eruv works? We'll say that's just in a regular case where Baruch Hashem, there's so much food that it can't be contained in one utensil. So Beis Hillel says, if you can't contain it all in one utensil, and you go ahead and you split it into two utensils, it's kosher. Aval heichud apalgi miflaglo. But Beis Hillel would say, were you intentionally split it? In other words, it could be that when Beis Hillel says that if you split the Erev into two utensils, the Erev is going to be kosher, that's, we'll call it a utilitarian split. That's when you have to split it because l'maisa, there's not enough room in one utensil. But if halacha l'maisa, you split it for some other reason, just because you want to, or for whatever reason, then halacha l'maisa could be based, who would also agree that such a split would invalidate the Erev. V'tarti l'amali. Now, both saying, now the truth is, both of these concepts are really the same idea. Rashi says, "V'tarti l'amali the Shmuel hoil v'tarvayu chad taima de kapet v'choli." Now, both say, if you think about it, both of these cases are really the same. In other words, case number one, where a person says, "I'm not giving permission for anyone else to eat my eruv bread," and case number two, where you split it up into two utensils, bepashtos. It's the same case. In other words, we'll say in both cases, what's happening over here is the Gemara's understanding, why would someone split the Erev up into two utensils? Because essentially what I'm doing is, I'm separating my portion of the Erev apart from everyone else's because I don't want anyone eating my Erev. So there we'll say, Pashtos, it's the same case. So why the need to state the two cases, it was the same case twice? The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. The Ashwin Hassam, verse of second wide line, Memtesim Nalif. The Ashwin Hassam, Mishum the Kapid. So we'll say, Abal Hacha, Ema Lo. So we'll say, interestingly enough, in the case where a person says, don't touch my Erev, don't eat my Erev, so that's a case of Hakpada. He's Makpiz, no one eats his Erev. I understand why that's invalid. But in the case of where you go ahead and you split it up amongst two Kalim, there's not necessarily an expressed hakpada. There may be an inferred hakpada, right? An inferred desire for no one to touch my eruv, but lamaisa, it's not explicitly stated. Furthermore, again, I'm saying, in the case we actually split it up, I would have said that's an invalid case because their mamish person is splitting up the eruv. Aval hasam imalo. I will say, in the case where a person has his bread mixed up with everyone else's bread, but he just expresses a desire that no one else touch my bread, so maybe halacha lamaisa, that case should be okay. Therefore, tzvicha. They're both saying both of these cases. So whether a person expresses a desire for no one else to touch his eruv, I don't want anyone to eat my eruv, or he splits it up ultimately again into two utensils. Either way, halacha lemaisa, the eruv is going to be invalid. Amrali Rabbi Abba Rabbi Huda, Bebe Matzarta Debe Rabbi Zakai. So what was Rabbi Zakai? Listen to this. So Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Huda, in the wine press of Rav Zakkai. So apparently Rav Zakkai had his own wine press. Mi amar Shmuel, hacholik es eruva eino eruv. Did Shmuel say that if somebody splits his eruv into two utensils, that the eruv is not good? Did he really say that? Vaha amar Shmuel, bayisham anichim bo eruv eino zarach litinas apas. What's the interesting halacha? What's if you have the members of a chatzar? So remember again, members of the chatzar, you collect bread from all the members of the chatzar and you deposit that bread in one person's home. Shmuel says the person whose home in which the Eruv is deposited does not have to contribute any bread. He doesn't have to contribute anything. So the Gemara says, my taima. Now what's the reason for that? Lav mishum damar dechivan demanach besan lekiman demanach kiman demanach hachadami. So we'll say, because bepashas, what do we say? Let's call him Reuven. Let's say the Eruv is deposited in Reuven's home. So we'll say, so bepashas, Reuven has bread in his house, but it's somewhere else. So the way we view it halakhically is how Reuven did contribute to the Eruv, just his bread is not in the basket. His bread is on his counter. Is on his counter. So Sylvie heard that what? That Allah HaLamaisa, you can count towards an Eruv bread, even if it's in a separate utensil. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, Kevan demanach besala kiman demanach hachadami. So we'll say, so the fact that ultimately we do not go ahead and make The fact that we do not go ahead and make the individual whose home the Eruv is deposited in contribute towards the Eruv, bepashtas, that's because we count the bread that's elsewhere in his kitchen as being part of the Eruv. So what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, even if bread is in a separate utensil, it works for the Eruv. If that's the case, so who cares? Even if you split the Eruv up into multiple utensils, it should still work. To which the Gemara says, no. Ha'amar le'hasam afapi she'in pas. It's not true. But say Shmuel actually holds that the person whose home in which the Eruv is deposited, even if that person contributed no bread at all, he is still considered to be a partner in the Eruv. What's the reason? The Gemara says, "My taima de kulu hachadairin." Because let's remember again, what does the collection of bread do? What does it do? So I'll say the collection of bread and then the placement in one of the homes effectively, remember halacha says, home is where your food is. And therefore, also what you effectively do is when you go ahead and you collect the bread from all the residents and deposit it in someone's home, it makes it as if all the residents live together in one home, which makes the chatzar the property of one home, which allows everyone to carry inside and out of that chatzar. Oh, so it turns out that what? The guy whose home, in whose home the chatzar is, the Eruv is deposited, doesn't have to contribute any bread at all. Why not? Well, because what is he contributing? What is he contributing? The domicile, right? It's actually his home that becomes the home of everyone else in the chatzar. So that person actually himself doesn't even need to contribute at all. So that's not really a good raya. Amr Shmuel, supposed to listen to this. Says the Gemara, supposed to say, it's really a lot of fascinating halacha. So number one, if you're makbid about someone about the other people, your other Eruv partners, not eating your Eruv, the Eruv's not good. You split it up into two utensils, the Eruv's not good. Unless, of course, you have too much food. If you have too much food, and that's you have to use an additional utensil, that's going to be okay. The guy in whose home in which the Eruv is deposited doesn't have to contribute towards the bread because he contributes a domicile. We'll say, now listen to this. Now this is really fascinating. And what's fascinating about this is we are 49 blot into this Masechta, and this is the first time the Gemara is actually going to speak about the actual mechanics. How does an Eruv work? Not Eruv Tchumen now, Eruv Chatzeros. So watch this. Amar Shmuel, Eruv Mishum Kinyan. Wow. We'll say, listen to this. Eruv is because of Kinyan. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Eruv, Rashi says Shumat Sarfon. It's about I'm about seven lines up from the bottom in Rashi. Eruv Shumat Sarfon. The reason why Eruv works, Rabbo says, why? Mishum Kinyon Shemakne Lohu Balabayis Veshuso Benimso Kulam Bebailim Bebayizeh She Eruv Munachbo V'chol Chotzer Mishubedes Rishusam V'zu V'achasi. So let's listen to this. So Shmuel says that Eruv works because of Kinyon. So I'll say what ends up happening is like this. The person in whose home the Eruv is deposited is makne. He gives over a portion of his home, some ownership interest, to all of the other residents in the chatzar. That's what happens. All the other residents in the chatzar. It's kinyan. So we'll say, if that's the case, why do you have to use food? Why can't you make an Erev Chatzeros with money? Right? After all, just go ahead and what? Let everybody contribute a couple of dollars. Right? Contribute a few dollars. And that's it. And you can buy your ownership interest in the person's domicile. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because they both say a lot of times, when would they make an Erev Chatzeros? Close to Shabbos. Oh, by close to Shabbos, I don't have my wallet on me anymore, right? I don't necessarily have money with me. So because that we're concerned that Hecha the Arav, so the Gemara says, they should be Barbi Shabbos. Because therefore, again, because a person often doesn't have money close to Shabbos on him, because a person often doesn't have money on him close to Shabbos, therefore they say, you don't make it with bread. Aye, but Hecha the Arav Mia Likne. Okay, fine. We will say, but at least if a person does use money to establish an Erev, it should work. In other words, if I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, here's $5. Here's $5. I'm buying an ownership interest in your home. At least that should work. And Abbas say, there's no indication that that works. In other words, as far as we know, halacha lemaisa, that does not work. That doesn't work. So what's the pshat? I'll tell you why the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Gzeira shemayom ma ikar, because also we're concerned that if we allow you to use money to buy ownership interest for Erev purposes, people will begin to say, oh, the ikar of Erev is money. The ikar, right? The ikar way to make an Erev is money. And what's going to happen? Vizimnin delo shiach ma. And sometimes a person is not going to have money on him. For the asi eruve, and therefore he's not going to come to make an eruve pass with bread. The asi eruve the kalkule, and people will totally forget about the institution of eruv. So this is actually very interesting. So according to Shmuel's approach, that eruv works als kinyan. When you make an eruv, chatzeros, really what's happening over here is you are actually acquiring an ownership interest in the domicile in which the eruv is placed. On a technical level, you should be able to do that even with money. The only reason we don't want you to do it with money is that I have a concern that if we do it with money, people will think that that's the ikar way, the primary way to make an Eruv. And when you don't have money on you, you won't make an Eruv. And over time, we're concerned that the institution of Eruv will be forgotten. Because we'll say, since Eruv is often something that is done close to Shabbos, and by the time it's close to Shabbos, people often don't have money on them, we're concerned that people will just forget the entire institution of Eruv, and therefore, Allah Chalamaisi will tell you to do it with bread. Rabbi says, no. Shmuel, you're wrong. Eruv mishum dira. Erev is not a din in kinyan. It's not a din in kinyan, Abbas. You're not actually acquiring anything, but rather it's a din in dira. It's a din in domicile. We'll say, this goes back to what we said before. Look at Rashi, Mishum dira. Shedaito shal adam al pito. Vahavile kilu dairi bahu besa. Ve'im b'chazizu ela dira achos. Vahari karushus achatsha miyucheles labayizeh. So we'll say, in fact, like we said before, home is where your food is. There's no kinyan. I'm not actually acquiring any type of ownership interest in Reuven's home, but rather since all the members of the Chatzar, have bread in the same domicile, therefore halacha lemaisa, it's like we all live there. There's no actual conference or transfer of ownership interest. But rather, again, it's just like home is where your food is. Since we all have food in Reuven's home, halachically, it's as if we all live in the same place. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, the chatzar is in the same makom. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, my bena. So we'll say, what's the practical difference? What exactly is the nafkamina? So we'll say, fundamental. This is very riveting, you know, exceptionally riveting. So we'll say, so now again, we're getting to how does Erev work? A fundamental machlok is how Erev works. Shmuel says, it's a din in kinyan. You're mamish acquiring an ownership interest in the home in which the Erev is deposited. Rabbi says, no, you're not acquiring any ownership interest. It's much simpler. Home is where your food is. We all live in the same place since our bread is all in the same domicile. My man, what's the practical difference? I'll tell you what the practical difference is. Kli, upachos mishave pruta, vikatan. Both said there are three nafkaminas. Can you make an Erev with a utensil? Can you use food that is less than a shave pruta, that isn't worth a pruta? And can a katan go ahead and establish your Erev on your bath? I was saying, before you turn the page, look at the last Rashi on the daf. Rashi says, Iko benayo kli v'shav shema pruta katan, leman damar mishum kinyin. So we'll say, according to the opinion, it says that Erev Chatzeros works als kinyin, yecholin liknos besudar. So also you can use a kli. Sudar literally means like a handkerchief, but you can use a kli. Because remember again, a kinyan can be affected through a utensil. Kederach shar kinyanin. Ve'en yecholin liknos bepashem v'sharaputa. So we'll say, if you hold that Erev works als kinyan, so first of all, you can use a utensil. Number two, you can't use bread that's worth less than a pruta, because kinyan cannot be affected with something that is worth less than a pruta. Furthermore, if you hold that chatzah works als kinyan, I can't go ahead and send my bread or my whatever I'm using with a katan, because a katan cannot be my shaliach in order to affect an acquisition. However, ulaman dor mishum dira, but according to the opinion, it says, no, Erev doesn't work als dira, excuse me, it doesn't work als kinyan, but instead it works als dira, that you all live in the same place. So the Gemara, Salama hani kinyan sudar, so first of all, a kli, a utensil won't work. Ma'arvin ba'ochel shem v'shar pruta, you can use food even if it's not worth a pruta, and you can use a katan. Right, I could go ahead and send my bread with a katan, because all the katan is doing is he's just my delivery boy. So because he's just my delivery boy, what matters is that my bread ends up in Reuven's home in the Damasal. So we'll say, these are the three nafkaminas between whether or not you hold that chatzah works in terms of dira or kinyan. Can you use a kli? If you hold kinyan, yes. If you hold dira, no. Can you use food that's less than a shavar pruta? If you hold kinyan, no. If you hold dira, yes. Can you use a katan to transport your bread to the domicile? If you hold kinyan, no. If you hold dira, yes. I'm a days of Osei. I'm a day of Abai the Rabbah. Abai says to Rabbah, Ledidach, Kasha, Ulishmo Kasha. So Abai says, the truth is, I'm going to tell you something that's a Kasha both to you and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Hatanya, Chamisha Shegavu as a Ruvan. So we'll say five people joined together in an Eruv. This is actually an interesting case. So what happens over here in this scenario is five people lived in a chatzar, right? Same five guys lived in a chatzar. So they go ahead and they made an Erev with each other. Now what they want to do is they happen to be adjacent to another chatzar. They now want to go ahead and make an Erev with a second chatzar. So chatzar A and chatzar B. Five guys live in Chatzar A, they made their Erev together. Now they want to join in an Erev with Chatzar B. So what happens? So we'll say, so what happens? Look at Rashi. So we'll say, what could they do? And again, we'll see this case a little bit later on. But interestingly enough, I will say what they could do is as follows. They could take the Erev that they made together in Chatzar A, and they could transport that Erev into Chatzar B, and now that same Erev works for both places. In other words, they already made the Erev of Chatzar A, they can now transfer it to Chatzar B, and now that allows them to carry between Chatzar A and Chatzar B as well. So the Gemara says, so Abaye says to Rabba, how does this work? Hu nihu dekakani, I'm sorry, echamot lekulon, hu nihu dekakani visulo, hu nihu dekadair visulo, how does one person do this on behalf of the entire Chatzar A? Is it one person who has the ability to acquire a domicile for all the residents in Chatzar A? Or one person who has the ability to go and establish a domicile for all the residents in Chatzar A? Vesu. Vesu lo. Amar le lo le didi kasha. Lo le shmo kasha. So Bosei Shabbos says it's not a kasha. Shlichos de kulhu ka'avid. This is not a problem, Bosei. Because whether or not you hold that chatzah works because of dira, or whether you hold that chatzah works because of kinyan, one thing is clear, which is there is the ability to go ahead and affect things through shlichus. And as we'll say, shlichus always works. So as long as you have someone who is fit to serve as a shaliach, so whether chatzah works because of dira, or whether chatzah works because of kinyan, either way, one person could act as the shaliach on behalf of the whole. So therefore, I will say, this case, again, we'll see it. It actually comes out later on, Ayin Beis, the Gemara quotes. So we'll see in a couple of weeks from now. I will say, but the yesod ultimately is that one person could go ahead and act on behalf of the collective, assuming that person is fit for shlichos. And that would be true whether or not the Erev is out mitam shlichos, or I'm sorry, mitam kinyan or mitam dira. I will say, now we happen to paskin, halacha lemaisa, that Eruv is Mishum Dira. That's how we paskin. Eruv is Mishum Dira. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Shin Samech Vav Gimel. Just quote this to you. I'm sorry. here, Habayis Shemanichin Bo'Erev. Supposed to listen to this. The way the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes this is, we'll see this later on. But Habayis Shemanichin Bo'Erev Ein Sarach Litein Pas. So I'll say ultimately again, the home in which the Erev is deposited is not obligated to go ahead and contribute bread. And the Mishnah Berurah says, why is that? Shari'ena Erev Ela Sheyachshov Kilu Kulan Darin Sham. Because they'll say, what's the point of the Erev? The entire point of the Erev is that halacha lemaisa, everyone is viewed as a resident in the same home. While the guy who actually lives in the home does not have to contribute any bread in order to be viewed as a resident. So we see Abba say that halacha, Shulchan Aruch goes on with this. He explains, but halacha lemaisa, we paskin that Erev is not mishum kinyan, but rather Erev is mishum dira. Erev is that home is where your food is, and halacha lemaisa, everybody contributes, puts their food in the same place. Therefore, we're all considered to be residents of the same makum. So Abba say, let's finish the Gemara. Says the Gemara, says, how we come full circle. So the Gemara says, Amalei lo ledidikash lo shmo, shlichos dikul ravar. Amar Rabba, v'amar Rabbi Chan bar Gurya, Amar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say after that little detour, the Gemara now goes back. By the way, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say, so remember again, so what does Rabbi Shimon say? So listen to this. I'll show you this in the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch says this is in Shin, we'll see. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, this is in Shin Samech. Shin Samech. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, Shinayin Ches, not Shin Samech. Sorry, Shinayin Ches. But listen to this. So we'll say Pasuk Rabbi Shimon. Here it is. Shalosh chatzeros psuchos zulazu upsuchos rishsarabim. So we'll say. Now remember again. We'll say we just said halacha follows Rabbi Shimon. What don't we know? Which version of Rabbi Shimon? Because remember again, there are two different versions of Rabbi Shimon. So now the Shulchan Aruch says, and she, I don't know, it keeps blinking red and green on this thing over here. So the Gemara says, Shalosh chatzeros psuchos zulazu or psuchos or shesarabim. So listen to this. If you have three chatzeros that are open one to the other, or up one to the other, or psuchos or shesarabim, and they're also open to the shesarabim. So we'll say, this is our case. A, B, and C. Arranged in a line, all open to each other, also all open to the Shurabim. What's the halacha? The erva kol achas meachitzonos imhem tzoyis vachitzonos lo ervu yachad. So we'll say what happened. A and C, both made an erev with B. Right? Erva kol achas meachitzonos imhem tzoyis vachitzonos lo ervu yachad. So we'll say, so again, A and B, but A and C made an erev with B, but A and C did not make an erev with each other. So what's the halacha? Hachitzonos asuros zu im zu, vaheem tzoyes mutares im kol achas mehen, vehein mutares imo. Ultimately, again, so A and C are both permitted with B. B is permitted with both A and C. However, again, of course, A and C may not carry with each other, into each other. B'medra amur, when is this? So, kishenosna em tzoyes eruva bazu ve'eruva bazu. Oshe nasnu achitzonos eruvan beemtzis b'shnei batim, avalim nasnu shnei achitzonos eruvan beemtzis b'vayis achod, shloshtan mutar zumzis. We'll say, this is actually a secondary case. It's actually quite interesting. So we'll say, so halacha l'maisa, just you should know, we pass on Rabbi Shimon, which means that if you have a situation of A, B, and C, and A and C made an Erev with B, but didn't make an Erev with each other, so we pass him that A and C could carry into B, and B could carry into A and C, but A and C cannot carry into each other. We'll say, now watch this. What the Shulchan Aruch does say is, when is it so that A and C can carry into each other? That's only when they made two different Eruvim with B and deposited their Eruv in two different homes in B. But interestingly enough, if A and C deposited their Eruv into the same home in B, then all three chaseros are permitted to carry into each other. Just an interesting corollary to this halacha. So good, we'll say, so he passed on to Rabbi Shimon, and really the Rabbi Shimon, as we saw, as stated in the Mishnah. So we'll say, let's go a little bit weiter. Let's do the Mishnah. Misha Baba Derech. So we'll say, fascinating halacha here. We'll do the Mishnah, then we'll stop. Misha Baba Derech, v'chash chalo. So let's listen to this. Somebody is traveling, and Shabbos is about to start. So what happens?
V'hayim makir ilan ogeder. V'amar shvi sasi tachtov. So we'll say, so what happens? He knows a landmark. He knows that there's a tree or there's a fence within 2,000 amis of his current location. So we'll say, so remember again, so we're going to see the case in question over here is the person is more than 2,000 amis away from home. Shabbos is about to start. So what I want to do is I want to make my makum shvisa somewhere that's within 2,000 amas of my current location, but also 2,000 amas then of my home. So what I'm going to do is I want to say my makum shvisa should be that tree or that fence that is less than 2,000 amas away. If I make that my makum shvisa, that will allow me to get home on Shabbos. So Misha Baba Darat Vachash Chalo, somebody's traveling on the road and it gets dark on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, V'hayu lo maki ilan al gader. And I know a landmark. I know that there's a tree, there's a fence. And I make the declaration. My makum shvisa should be underneath the tree, should be underneath the fence. Lo amar klum. Ultimately, you're going to both say his statement is meaningless. Now, why is his statement meaningless? Because in order for him to go and establish a makum shvisa, he has to be more specific about the area of the makum shvisa. So to just say underneath a tree or by a fence, that is not enough. However, shvisa se bi ikaro. But if he says, my makum shvisa should be at the trunk of the tree, then mahalich mi makum raglo va'ad ikaro apayim amo, umi ikaro va'ad besa apayim amo, nimtza mahalich meshech ashecha, arba'az alofim amo. See, if Rabbi says, halacha l'maisa, if however a person says, you know what, my makum shvisa should be underneath the trunk of the tree, or my makum shvisa should be, you know, by the right side of the fence. So he specifies an area, then Enochinami, that works. That works. And I will say, so interesting of the novelty of the Mishnah is that you could establish a Makum Shvisa at some point within 2,000 Amas of your current location. And what that does is that allows your Shabbos Tchum to be calculated from that Makum Shvisa. So that it turns out that over the course of Shabbos, you'll actually be able to travel 4,000 Amas and be able to get home. Let's say a person doesn't know a discernible landmark, or he just doesn't know the halacha. And he says, my makum shvisa should be where I am right now. So again, let's say a person doesn't know of a landmark ahead, or he just doesn't know the halacha, and he says, okay, this should be my makum shvisa is right here. So what's the halacha? We'll say, you have 2,000 amas. Now we'll say, the Mishnah is introducing us as tefala. How do you measure the 2,000 amas? Rabbi Chanina says it's a circle. It's a circle. So you have 2,000 amas, essentially, and you have a circle of a diameter of 4,000 amas, which I will say effectively means what? That halacha l'maisa, now when you say 4,000 amas, what it means is you have 2,000 amas in any direction you want. But we view it as a circle. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, no, merubos ketabla merubas. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus and the Chum say, no. We don't look at your tchum as a circle, rather we look at it as a square. Why are we looking at it as a square? The Gemara says, "Kadei she niskat lezavios." Because let's say very simply, if we measure your tchum as a square and not as a circle, you get more space, right? You get more area because you get the corners. V'zoi she'amru, and this is that which we said. Ha'ani ma'ari biraglov. An ani rabosai has the ability to establish his makom shvisa with his feet. In other words, he doesn't have to use food to establish a makom shvisa. He can establish a makom shvisa with his person, with his feet. Rabbi Meir, anu ein lanu ela ani. Rabbi Meir, so by the way, it's only an ani who could establish a makom shvisa with his feet, right? Everyone else needs to use food. Rabbi Yehuda omer echad ani ve'echad asher. No, it's not true. Anyone could establish a makom shvisa with their person, right? Just by being physically present. Lo amru ma'arvin bepas ela lahakil al ha'asher shal yetzei ve'arib ragler. We'll say, in fact, obviously anyone could establish a makom shvisa with their person. It's just that the rabbis gave a kula, they gave a leniency, and they said that halacha l'maisa, you could go ahead and establish a makom shvisa with food, because they will say, what's the godless of using food? Is that you could send a shaliach to deposit your erev in a particular place. So halacha l'maisa, Rabbi Yehuda says, anyone has the ability to establish an erev with their physical presence. There's just an additional kula that you can go ahead and establish an erev with food, because if you can establish an erev with food, then you could send that food with a shaliach. Someone else could establish your makom shvisa on your behalf. We'll stop with it for today. The daf will be tomorrow during the break. What time that is, I don't know. You'll speak to Moshe and Gabi. Whatever time that's going to be. We'll say gemar chasima tova.